Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I loved our music today. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was beautiful. Everything's different, but different isn't necessarily bad or incorrect. I really love the piano music, and sometimes less is more, right? You know, and sometimes you want the whole full band, and sometimes less is more, especially for entering in to worship. You know that many of our group are out on vacations. I know that Sandra and Dan were in Disney, and the Piscina kids are in Disney, and Frida and them are in Tennessee, and people are just literally all over the place. But you and I, we're here. We're here in God's house, and it's just absolutely amazing to be here in this place. And it, just by way of announcement, if you would like to help our church financially, now would be a great time to do it. A lot's going on, but we know God is faithful. He is so faithful. He really, really is, and you can't outgive God.
Amen. Yeah, I enjoyed our music, too. Lilia did great on her song. Yes. So me, Tony, and Lilia were the Christian Fellowship Trio. We'll be cutting albums and going on the road, so we're looking. So today we have a wonderful message. It's called Be of Good Cheer, which we all need cheering up, right? And I'm always reminded of when Paul was about to be shipwrecked and everyone was freaking out. They knew they were going to die, and that angel came to God, and the message from the angel to everyone that was about to die is, be of good cheer. It's like, everybody cheer up, which is a weird thing to say when you're about to die. So I was thinking, and of course they didn't die, because fear is what, you get rid of the fear and you can replace it with laughter. And believe me, when you're able to laugh at problems, it really confuses the enemy. It confuses the devil. Why are they laughing? It's because I know something. I know something. You know, I was thinking about the woman at the well, which is one of my favorite stories, because Jesus had to go to her, and she was lost, and no one was coming to her. She wasn't going to connect with Jesus unless he knew about her. So he came to her. He had to go there. The rest of the disciples were gone. And just to put ourselves in that situation that we feel so lost. But he told her, she began to talk about religion to him. What mountain should we, what church should we be going to? What rules should we be following? And he said, the time is coming when the true believers will worship in spirit and in truth. So the whole idea is, I am never going to connect with God on an intellectual basis. I love science. I believe it's the laws of God. But I don't connect with God through science. We will connect with God through our hearts. And that's the beauty and the magic and that's the secret. That's the amazing secret of the kingdom of God. He is the vine, you are the branches, that even at this place, even today, you can reach out and connect with God, and we are connected with God. So be of good cheer, Pam. So what? Cheer up.
You know, that is an interesting concept, isn't it? You know, the title is very appropriate, Be of Good Cheer. And I think of how strange this does sound if I was to tell Pastor Ken, listen, I've got some things to lay out for you. I'm going through a really, really hard time. This is really, I'm just at the bottom. And he goes, hey, let's rejoice. Let's be glad about that. You know, I would think, have you lost your mind? But I want to say a few things about God's word. First of all, God's word is true and it is certain. And here's the thing about God. He's comfortable being God, as Bill Johnson says. He is perfectly comfortable being God. He's not afraid to tell you anything that you need to know. And what that means is God doesn't hide information that you need to know, whether it makes you uncomfortable or whether it challenges you in any way. And there are so many promises in God's word, but there was always a statement in God's word that Jesus actually said, that made me a little bit uncomfortable, and here's what it was in John 16, 33. These things I've spoken to you, Ken, Pam, Dave, all of you, Tony, that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, if you ever wonder, is God's word true? Pastor Pam, how do I know God's word is true? God's word says you'll have trouble. Have you had trouble? I'm exhibit A. You are exhibit B. This word is true, isn't it? You've had some trouble. I've had some trouble. But we can be of good cheer. It gives us instruction. And so I know God's word is true because I've had trouble. Every time I read these two words, though, tribulation and cheer, it just seems my mind can't wrap its head around. What do you mean, tribulation and cheer? They do not seem to go ahead. But I know that when I have trouble, Ken, and if I have peace in the middle of the storm, I know it's not the peace as the world gives. It's supernatural peace. If you're going through something and you still have peace, and you can still stand, and I can still sit up here today. I'm exhibit A, by the way. If I can sit up here today and have peace in my life, then guess what? That's the supernatural peace of God. Because here's what peace is in God's kingdom. It's not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God. We live in a broken world. We are going through stuff, hard stuff. Can anybody say amen to that? We're going through some hard stuff. But here's the thing. If you're going through hell, you don't need to sit down and take it and accept it. You need to keep going. I said it like this. I'm going to keep stepping forward no matter what the devil slings at me. One foot on the ground and one on his head. One on his head and one on the ground. And Jesus told us that we would have this trouble. But all hell breaks out against you. You know what that means? You know what that says to me? You are an enemy of hell. Hell has noticed you. Do you know it's a backhanded? My cousin used to say that's a backhanded compliment from the enemy that you would be attacked so heavily. T.D. Jakes talks about it all the time. And it is not necessarily because you've done something wrong or you're a bad person. Don't believe that lie. You're not a bad person. Anything you did wrong is covered by the blood on the cross, so it doesn't matter if you did something wrong. The trouble you're going through is because hell has noticed you.
And really, if you think about it, Satan's whole plan is to get people to compromise. Yep. If you don't compromise, you're going to be a target. But if you'll agree with him and water down your gospel and back away your testimony and be ashamed of the gospel, you won't go through as near. People that are not ashamed of the gospel, that are like, I am a Christian and I know it, that stand up for Jesus when no one else does. Isn't that sad that our Lord and Savior, that there wasn't one of those disciples, not one of those people that were healed, not one of the thousands that had been fed, not one of them stood with him? Not one of them. It was like he faced all of that alone. You would have think one person could have said, I stand for Jesus. But things haven't changed. The world is still antichrist. There is an antichrist spirit. And that's so wonderful that that's happening. Why is that so wonderful? If everybody served and loved Jesus, you wouldn't be different. You would just be going along with the crowd. We wouldn't really know if you were doing this because we're going along with the crowd. That's what politicians do. They wait to see what the people, they go along with the crowd. Is abortion in? Is it out? Is this in or out? What's in or out? They change their mind as much as they change their shirts. But if we trust in Jesus, we're loyal to him no matter what. We don't change because the world changes. And I'm telling you that because the world is saying, deny Jesus. The world is saying, back off on your testimony. And I don't think you need to do that. So we're talking about going through hard times, the valley times, right? Well, the Bible says something unusual. It says, in everything, give thanks.
That's right.
Boy, is that hard to do. And if I tell Pam how things are hard and she says, thank God, and, you know, just thank God, that's a little hard to swallow. You know, what do you mean? Why are we happy about it? There's good things that happen in the valley,
that's right?
It's the hidden valley. That's where they make the ranch. So, There can be good things that happen in the valley. What good thing could happen in the valley? You meet God in the valley. You meet God in the fire. So you were talking, and the Holy Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, He always leads you to victory. He never leads you to self-pity. He never leads you to depression. So if you're being led to depression, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Because again, they were dying. They were, okay, well, I guess this is over. And the angel said, I got something to say to everyone. Tell them to cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. Cheer up. It seems like such a weird thing. Even Jesus saying, you know, that be of good cheer and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what do these two things have in common? The disciples that were in a storm in a boat when Jesus was asleep, really a bad time, right? They're going to die by every account. The 12 professional fishermen interviewed all said, we're going to die, okay? So they're professional fishermen. 12 of them said, we're dying. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Professional firefighters say, all 12 of them say they're going to die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happens when you throw them in the fire? I got this. I'm a medical doctor. They die immediately. They're dead. What do those two stories have in common? Well, they're all in the valley, right? They're all in horrible times. What is in common with Jesus in the boat asleep and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fire? What is in common as you know it? Jesus was there. So isn't it, here's my question to you. Would you rather not be in the valley without Jesus or be in the fire with Jesus? Now, I don't want to be in a fire, but if you're like, you can be one of the, it could be Shadrach, Meshach, and Ken. And I would get that testimony that Jesus would be in the fire and I wouldn't be hurt. That's where I want to be. So if the difference in the valley is whether we're with Jesus, then when you're in the valley, you've got to make sure you invite Jesus into the valley with you. Because yay, and we're about to read Psalm 23, but I want to say rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Well, if that's true, then what's the point of being a Christian? Because the difference is the unjust are not with Jesus. They don't walk with Jesus. The just walk with Jesus. So I want to read Psalm 23, and we could actually get stuck on this for the whole time. By the way, what is this Pam's translation? What, is this the message? Okay, so the message, and I like this because instead of the King James that you all know, it's the Message translation. Yay, yes, and apostrophe. It's like, yes, he's happy about the shadow of death and all this. This is Psalm 23. This is David recognizing that, yes, there's dangers to being a sheep, but there's great advantages to being with the shepherd. Yes, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it's a shadow. Have you ever been beat up by a shadow? Have you ever hit your nose on a shadow? You ever run into a brick shadow? A shadow is just the reflection of something, but the shadow can't hurt. Okay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not buying it so far, because who wants to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? And he says, death is stalking me and breathing down my neck. Okay, that's the Message Bible. This is serious. I will choose to fear no evil, no devil or demon of hell, for you, my God, my Savior, my Holy Spirit, are constantly with me. See, that's it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Jesus is with me. He's right there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So that's right there in the valley. In the middle of the valley, here's the table with the salad and the ranch. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. There's oil, too, for the salad. My cup runs over. We got drink. It's running over. We got blessing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Instead of surely demons are following me, right, you're surrounded by the good things. You're eating at the table of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Yes, you're in the valley, but you're happy because you're with God and you're protected because you're with God.
You know, I like that God's word actually warns us that we will have tribulations and troubles, and it doesn't put a, well, the good people will have troubles, the bad people will have troubles, we will all have troubles. And you notice there's no exemption clause in there, right? There's no exemption clause for you. You know, a short time ago, I had to hear some very bad news. And the first thing that came to my mind was, how can this happen to us, to me? And then I thought of this verse. How can this not happen? In this world, we will have trouble, but he's overcome the world. So we all have trouble in this world. And here's the thing. We don't want to face trouble, but as an overcomer, for every trial and test and situation you go through that you overcome, you know, you grow in your love for Christ, and you realize that he was there with you, that right now I'm saying, God, you are with me now. As I'm going through this valley, God is with me. But I want to tell you something. It helps you in so many ways. You can grow in compassion when you go through it. Boy, is it different when somebody else gets bad news than when you get bad news. Tell me it's not different. Like, oh, I'm really sorry for you. And then you get, it's so different. But we all go through things like that. You know what it helps me? It makes me so grateful for the times when I'm not going through something. It makes me so thankful and praise to God, which we should be all the time. But it doesn't mean, again, that you're a bad person, that you're being punished for something. You know, don't blame God for your troubles. Don't even blame yourself. You know, unless you've done something, don't blame. Let me tell you something. Job had all kinds of troubles. I mean, he was loaded. It was coming. The messenger, the Bible says, before he could even hear out the first messenger, the second one was coming, and the next one was coming. The phone was ringing. There were people at the door. They were bombarding him with bad news. What had Job done that was wrong? Nothing. Nothing. The Bible says he was the most upright man in the East. What about Daniel? What did Daniel do to deserve being tossed in a lion's den? Nothing. He prayed. He did everything right. And that's you in so many instances. And the Hebrew children for taking a stand. You know, that is what we have to do. When we're going through it, we have to keep going, knowing that God is on our side. And so many of these problems and things we face is because someone asked me, said, why does it seem like all hell has come against me? And I said, because all hell has come against you. Why does it seem like it? Doesn't just seem like it. That's the fact. But you know what? That's not where you're going to wind up. And let me tell you something about the Word of God and you. For every single problem that you face, and you may have heard me say this before if you come on Monday night, for every problem, God has a corresponding promise. And if you don't know what that promise is, come tell me what your problem is, and I'll tell you what the promise of God is, and I'll tell you something else. He keeps his word. The devil is a liar, but God keeps his word. And if you're going through a hard time, if you're not going through a hard time, I want you to look up at that screen right now. If you're not going through a hard time, it is your responsibility to pray for others who are. Can you get that? If you're sitting here and saying, I ain't got no problems. Pastor Pam had them all raise their hand. Look at them all. I ain't got no problems. Then guess what? I'm going to give you my name on a piece of paper, and you can pray for the rest of us.
Yeah, and I think we make a mistake to think that nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Yeah. Because it's true in a way. I can say, well, Irma does not have the situation I have in my life, so she's got it good. And that's true. She does not have any of the problems that I have. But that doesn't mean she doesn't have Irma problems that I don't have. And or Janice is going through her old unique thing. Everyone has a cross to bear, but we do need to have compassion and empathy and sympathy, and we need to lift up one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to give one another the word. I'll say this about, you know, the Bible says that deep calls to deep, and I've always liked that scripture because I always thought it was a deep scripture, maybe because it had the word deep in it. But I think of whales, you know, in the ocean, that they can call out to another whale that, I don't know the science, that could be 50 miles away probably. Right. I don't know how far. I'm just making that up. But it's deep, calling to deep. And there's something in the recreated spirit that calls out to God and receives. In technology, it's a transceiver. It can both transmit and receive. It does both. Not just a transmit. When I went to buy my computer a couple of years ago, I assumed that it had Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And right before I was buying it, the guy said, "Do you want Bluetooth and Wi-Fi?" And I said, what do you mean? You mean that the computer doesn't come? And he said, no, every motherboard, you gotta put that on. You gotta make sure your computer has that. And I was thinking about that Bluetooth, that Wi-Fi allows it to connect wirelessly. It allows it to reach out to the internet. And inside of the unrecreated spirit, there's no Bluetooth or Wi-Fi installed. But if you're born again, how many scriptures say that when you call out, he hears you? And you go, how can he hear me? Because he's connected to you. Right. He's connected to you. He says to you that he knows every hair on your head. He says he bottles every tear. So he knows your thoughts, right? He knows your doubts. He knows you are connected to God. And we forget that, don't we? I think that's the greatest revelation that we need to know, is that you go with the Holy Spirit. Now, Samson, the Spirit fell upon him, and he took the jawbone of a donkey, and he just killed a couple of thousand people because the Holy Spirit was on him. But we also know that Samson was dysfunctional. He had all sorts of sin in his life. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit lifted away from him, but he didn't know it. So we might assume that because we're Christians that God is always with us and he's always, but we can actually move ourselves away from the Holy Spirit. He's always near us, but that doesn't mean we're always near him. He's always, and that's why that scripture, and I love this, it says, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. That's a promise. So whenever I feel far from God, I always think, I just need to draw near to him. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong. Again, this is God always encouraging us when we're down. Be of good courage, fear not, neither be afraid. But why, God? Why shouldn't I be afraid? Because, he says, it is he that goes with you. That's why we're not afraid, because God is with us all the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't go where he's not welcome. So just make sure you go places that the Holy Spirit is welcome. Make sure you pray, Holy Spirit, go out this door with me. And if I was with Pam, wouldn't it be rude for me to spend 6 hours with her and completely not say a word to her? It would be rude, right? If we weren't talking to each other, we might as well not be in each other's presence. The same thing. What good is it to have a Holy Spirit in your life if you're not talking to him, if you're not listening to him? So, and we are all guilty of that. You can say, oh my goodness, I've spent the last 6 hours so busy that I haven't prayed or even thought about God. So at one time in my life, I had my alarm set off that it went off. It beeped once every hour. Every hour just gave me a beep. And to me, that was my reminder that I'm allowing myself to go more than an hour, so I got to go back and I got to think about God. So when we go back to Psalm 23 about the dangers you're going through, and I know you can think of all the dangers, you can think of them, but an actual shepherd, sometimes when you're leading your sheep to the lowlands or you got to bring them back, you got to travel around to find where the grass is and where the water is, sometimes there was narrow ledges where you could only go single file or maybe two at a time. And so if you had 100 sheep, this was a dangerous time because you're going on this narrow part. The shepherd can't be everywhere at once. So what the shepherd say, how does the shepherd protect the sheep? If there's only one shepherd and he's going to be on this narrow ledge. And so they could attack from the middle or the back or something. So what the shepherd would do is go first. He would clear out all the wild animals on this narrow path. So he already knew what was coming. Didn't Jesus go before you? Didn't he come to earth before you? Didn't he take captivity captive? Didn't he paralyze the enemy? Didn't he take the keys of death, hell, and the grave? Jesus went first, and he is standing, and he gave us the sword. He gave us his name. So yes, we're going through tough times, but we need to take comfort and take faith in the fact that we have a powerful Savior that has already defeated the enemy.
It is such a comfort when you're going through hard times to know that God is with you, and I'll tell you why. There are many, many occasions when I read a story recently of a woman who got diagnosed with a terribly dreaded disease, and immediately her husband left her. And I thought it was just, of course, the most horrible thing that can happen. But I kept thinking about Jesus, how that same thing happened to Jesus. You know, the disciples and so many, he had so many multitudes followed him for the miracles. They loved the feeding of the 5,000 when he was feeding them and blessing them. And they enjoyed the wedding at Cana of Galilee. But when trouble came, they all scattered and ran. And sometimes that happens in your life too, that when you need people the most, they've scattered from you. They don't understand you. They feel uncomfortable around you. I want to tell you, Jesus ain't like that. He's not like that. He's going to be there in your hardest of times, when you're the most broken, even if you've caused it yourself. In the midst of tribulation, Jesus is our peace. He's the one that's never going to leave us. And I want to say something about God's promises. God promises to redeem our pain, but God's promises are to those who love, honor, and serve him, who accept Jesus Christ. And we need to know that he's not just the God of when we get in trouble. He has to be our God every single day. Serve him. You know, I noticed something in the Bible that verse that says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything, it says in everything. But here I see a verse in Romans 5, 3-5 that says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We don't rejoice for our sufferings. Thank you, God, that I broke my arm today and now I'm having surgery. No, that's not what it means. It says, in everything, while you're going through it, rejoice, knowing, it says, that suffering produces endurance and endurance produces character. I know most of us don't want to hear this, but sometimes going through a hard thing builds our character. It helps us become a compassionate person. It helps us become a stronger person. It causes us to want to be closer to God, and it helps us to be a more thankful kind of person. And I want to tell you something. There's an advantage. Did you know there's an advantage to praising God when you're going through hard times? Let me tell you what it is in case you don't know. Do you know that to praise God in the storm builds your own faith? As you hear yourself, faith comes by hearing, and I hear myself praising God. I praise you, God. I thank you, God. But it does something else. Do you know that praising God in the storm makes all of hell get shook? You want to shake hell up a bit? You start praising God and watch the devil go, wait a minute, I threw all I had at them and they're praising God. What's going on? Honey, that's a faith that'll work. That's a faith that'll work, to praise God when all of hell comes against you. Do you know Jesus understands your brand of pain? He was called a man of sorrows. He was unloved. He was rejected. Don't think you're the only one who's ever been betrayed, ever been rejected, ever been the last one on the list. Don't think that. Jesus felt that kind of pain. But we can still rejoice. You know why? In the book of Job, we see all of these troubles. This happened, that happened, this happened. Now it gets worse. Now it gets even worse. Now it gets worse. Now it's just the worst it's ever been. But I have read the Bible, and there's a 42nd chapter of Job, and it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing how God redeemed his pain and restored him and healed him. God wants to heal you. He wants to turn your situation around. He's going to turn your situation around. But the final chapter of your book has not been written yet. So you may be going through some hard times now, but wait, we aren't at the 42nd chapter yet. Because you're coming out of that fire, you're not going to be eaten by those lions. King David said, many are they increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. But guess what? But thou, O Lord, you are a rock and a shield and a strong tower, my help in times of trouble. And, you know, even Jesus, people say, well, Jesus felt all our kinds of suffering. And I was thinking about this the other day. Said Jesus never knew sickness, though. He never knew what it was. And I said, excuse me? Excuse me? He took our infirmities in his own body. Yes, he did. And he took our sins. Jesus understands, and he has actually felt your trouble. when he was on the cross. Joseph, same thing, in a pit, in a palace, falsely accused. Years and years go by. But that last chapter, we talked about it Monday night where they were all together standing there. And let me tell you something, your setback, you may have had a setback, but God's getting you ready for a comeback. And I'm telling you, the devil can't stop the plan of God for your life. He would, one more thing, I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken. There is a song that I absolutely love, and this is it. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would I be? You know what? I'm going to tell you where I'd be. Probably in hell. Probably in hell if the Lord had not been on my side.
If you really think about most Bible characters, most of them were poor. There was a few that like Solomon, of course, and David, that they had. Of course, David spent most of his life on the run, where he wouldn't have thought of himself. But I wanted to say this to you. Do not judge your success or failure in life by your 401k. Do you remember after Jesus died how there was a big argument over his estate and the probate that it went through and who would get the land and who would get the houses? Remember all that fight in the book of Acts on the probate of Jesus? There was no 401k. Did Jesus have a 401k? If you want to judge your success on your 401k, then if you have one, you're more successful than Jesus. The only thing that he had that anyone fought over was his garment, which we should still fight over that, to be clothed in the garment that he had. When I first became a pastor, people thought they wanted to give me the books they didn't want. And so I got hundreds of books about how Jesus was rich. Hundreds of these people that had written books about, you know, success means, you know, you're driving a Cadillac or a Lexus, and it was all about prosperity. Hundreds of books on prosperity that somehow accidentally got thrown away. Because that's not the, is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? I remember being an attorney in San Antonio, and I was on the top floor of this building in a corner office. It wasn't my office. It was the head attorney's office, and I'm looking down at the city, and I'm upcoming lawyer, and I'm getting all these cases, and they had assigned me to a real hotshot attorney because I thought, well, I'm going to really have a bright future with this. And I remember looking upon the city, and I thought, someday this will be my office. That was my dream, is to just be the most successful attorney in Fort Worth, in Dallas, or where I was in San Antonio. I lived all over in Texas. And then right before Dad had died, I had this friend that was a multimillionaire, and he invited us to trade stocks with his money, so I didn't have to put up any money. So I became a market maker through the NASDAQ, and I was actually trading. I was the Apple trader. That's all I traded all day long, was Apple. I would trade tens of thousands of shares of Apple every day. And I was doing so good. And then I heard that Dad had died, and I heard that the church needed a minister. And here's the thing. You've got to decide what's important in your life. You know, never refuse a combat mission. I am not going to measure my success or failure in life by the kind of car that I drove, because, I mean, I made a joke about it last week, but Jesus would have, you know, he's driving a Pinto or a colt or a donkey. He's not driving a Lexus. And all of those preachers that try to pervert the gospel into prosperity, and that you measure your success that way, that is just not the measure of your success is whether you hang on to your faith. How hard was it for Job? The temptation was to just throw away God. How hard was it for Joseph, who was in, he had nothing, he was in prison, he was falsely accused, but he had had a dream from God. He was able to hold on to that dream. How hard is it for the disciple James, they're about to throw him off a roof if he doesn't deny Jesus. How hard was it for Polycarp to not deny Jesus? How hard was it for so many teenagers who stood there and say, Jesus is my Lord, when all they had to say is, I've never heard of him, or I deny Christ? That Fox's Book of Martyrs is filled with hundreds of stories of ordinary people that said, strike the match then. But I belong to Jesus Christ. The battle is in the mind. It's not with the sword. Peter said, I'll draw the sword. You know, we're going to fight him right here. The battle is in the mind. And Joseph had a word from God. He did not let go. He did not let go. And the hard times that you and I are going through, the temptation to let go, or the temptation to look at other people and to do not judge your life that way, Alan. Do not judge your life that way, Barney. You should not look at what you don't have. We should all be looking at what we have, which is a pearl of great price. It is the thing that is worth more than anything. It is Jesus Christ. God cares so little about gold that he paves a street with it. He goes, this is just my concrete. It means nothing to me. So connecting to God is everything.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, everybody goes through things, but there is a purpose for your pain. You know, the Bible says you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God means to bring good out of your situation. How can he do that? Is that even possible? Yes, it is. It is because he's God. You know, I remember watching Sandra go through such deep personal pain and that sickness that she went through, and it just broke my heart, and she was crying one day and just why out at her house. I had went out there every day, and I said, Sandra, you don't understand this, but there's a purpose for your pain. There's a purpose in the breaking. It's not from God, but God has a plan. He's got a plan and a purpose in the pain. And I truly believe that all of hell and all of earth are watching how you're handling life, how you're doing life, how you're going through the problems that you're going through, what's coming out of your mouth. You know, about a week ago, my daughter Sandra said, hey, Mom, how are you doing? And I was very, very careful because I was tempted. And I said, I'm doing great. I'm doing just great because God is on my side. God is for me and not against me. And then I kept thinking, it almost is like hell asking you, the devil asking you, hey, how are you doing? Hey, down there. Hey, down there, sister. How you doing with this? How are you feeling now that I've thrown this at you? You go, great. I'm doing just great. I'm doing well, Debbie. I'm doing well. That's what we all need to answer and respond, because there's power in our words. Our words are prophetic words. They're words of prophecy. So no matter what you're going through, you can still, you say, well, isn't that fake and phony to say you're doing great when you're not? No, things could be a lot worse. We're doing just fine because we have Jesus, because God is with us. We have one another. No matter what we go through, we're coming through, right? As overcomers, that's what Jesus said. I believe the word of God. Look at that script. Look at the screen again. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So that hard thing you're going through, it's not too hard for him. So we're with you, standing for you, whatever you're going through today. If you need to ask for prayer, ask for prayer, because we will agree with you.
Amen. We're going to begin to close out. When I was talking about the computer and the Wi-Fi or whatever, I was thinking about my iPad here, which I accidentally left at church last week. It was When I my Bible program, I can download things and I can update things. The reason I love my iPad here is when I make my Bible notes, they're electronic. So the next time I have to buy another iPad, those notes will be there in the next time. So I'm able to keep my notes forever. But I'm able to download those things. When you read your Word of God, you are downloading it into your heart. You're literally writing the New Testament onto your heart. It's becoming a part of you. And when we connect with God, it's not a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. But we know from the Word of God that we are connected with God. So as as I close out in prayer here, let's pray by example. Let's say you are in a valley, and let's say you're facing many, many difficult situations, difficult fears that you can even list them, but don't list them. Don't count your problems. Count your blessings. But if you know if your mind wanders and you think, well, I have these health issues, and I have these financial issues, and I have these issues that I don't see how they could get any better, and I need to cry out to God about that. And I say yes. That's where, if we're going to cry, we should cry to God. Nothing wrong with crying. But if you're not crying out to God, your tears are wasted. So cry out to God. But before we cry out to God, because God already knows, right? He knows what you're worried about. He knows what you're facing. But he's already went before you. I believe he already has an answer. But I believe that if we give up on God, if we give up on our faith, if Joseph had in prison turned on God, I don't believe he would have gotten out of there. So the first thing we need to do is what Job did. In the middle of your problem, in the middle of your heartache, in the middle of your heartbreak, we need to bless God and thank God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in joy. We come to you in anticipation. We come to you with some broken hearts. But before we even ask for you to help our broken situation, we just want to acknowledge the brightness in the room. Not the elephant in the room, but we stand in a throne room, bursting with glory, bursting with holiness. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I see the thousands and thousands, the multitude of angels that are crying out, holy, holy, holy. I see the smoke that billows. I hear the thunder that rumbles, the shaking, the fire that comes from the throne. I see the Son of God sitting on the throne with his eyes that are flames of fire. His hair is white as snow. His feet are like polished brass from the fire and I see a smile on his face. I see a Savior, our friend. And God, I want to tell you, there's no God like you. There's no Jesus. There's no brother. There's no friend. There's no Savior. There's no King who's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He is the exalted one. There'll never be another. He is high and lifted up. And today, this morning, from a place of brokenness, we join with Job and we worship. We say, you are worthy, Lamb. You are worthy, Lamb of God. You are worthy, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our comforter. Thank you that you're the problem solver. You're the troubleshooter. You're our friend. You cheer us up. You walk with us. You live within us. You are our wisdom. You are our hope. You are our future. God, you're our everything. God, we need you. I need you for every area of my life. I need you to be part of my heart. I need you to walk with me out of this church. I need you to be in my car and protect me. I need you to protect me from roaring lions. I need you to protect me from lying tongues. God, I will not and do not need to defend myself. I ask that you would defend me, that the blood of Jesus would be on this church. The blood of Jesus would be on every family that's here. The blood of Jesus would be on every child of every parent that is here. Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus, the power of God, would go with us. We leave this church, we go with God. Lord, keep us aware, keep our mind aware that we will not give up, we will not bow down to any fear. Lord, we trust in you. You are our future, you are our hope. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those that are depressed. I come against the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. You lying spirit, you have to go. And I replace it with a spirit of hope. I replace that spirit of death with a spirit of life. We choose life today. life and we choose the joy of the Lord. In everything, give thanks. I give you thanks for my past. I give you thanks for the present. I give you thanks for the future. There is no one like you. We don't have enough time. We could be for hours thanking you and praising you. God, we go away thanking and praising you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.